our God, and he's greatly to be praised from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Certainly, God has blessed us beyond enumeration, and we ought to be glad about it. What God has done for us, we don't deserve, so we all praise him and thank him for blessing us in the many ways that he has blessed us. Certainly good to see all of you. We thank God for your presence and your participation and your posture. We know that you are eagerly awaiting the word of God because man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need the word. Amen. Can you own that this evening? I need the word. Yes, I need the word. And I'm thankful that God is faithful in giving us his word. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Psalm 25. First five sentences or verses. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation, only do I wait all the day. The shepherding ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in Psalm 25 verses 1 through 5. Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse 26. As we look at, consider the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. John 16, verses 13 and 14. Howbeit, when he, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The word of the Lord for the people of God, the word is blessed. May we be blessed by being hearers and doers of his holy divine word. We're talking about the emotional responses of the Holy Spirit. And on last week, we dealt with negative actions, disobedience, and what comes out of disobedience as it relates to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is affected by our negative actions, disobedient actions, that the Holy Spirit is grieved by sin. He's grieved by sin. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. The Holy Spirit is vexed by rebellion. Isaiah 63:10. The Holy Spirit is offended by unforgiveness, self-responses to him and others. We know that we can self-respond. Instead of responding the way God would have us to respond, the way the Holy Spirit is nudging and trying to get us to respond, we self-respond. The Holy Spirit say, hush, and you talking. And the next thing you know, you have said something regrettable because you didn't heed the Holy Spirit. Amen. He is offended at unforgiveness. That unforgiveness is a choice. It's a choice, it's not a feeling. You don't have to wait until you feel like. Amen. You can choose to forgive. And if you choose to forgive enough, the feeling will come. Amen. Amen. The feeling is developed after you have practiced forgiveness. So the Holy Spirit is offended by unforgiveness and self-response. The Holy Spirit is quenched by disobedience to his command. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. The Holy Spirit is disrespected when lied to. We know that from Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. And Peter asks, why have you allowed Satan to cause you to lie to the Holy Spirit?
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. That's why the Bible says your yea needs to be yea and your nay, nay. Don't twist it up.
That's right.
Tell the truth. Look at your neighbor and say, tell the truth. Yeah, tell the truth. Tell the truth. Now, you don't want to come to church intending to lie. And then let me tell you something else you don't want to come to church intending to hear a lie. Amen. He's the Spirit of truth. Amen. So if the Holy Spirit is involved, it's going to be an atmosphere of truth. So don't come intending to lie. Amen. Amen. Tell the truth. So he's disrespected when lied to. The Holy Spirit is resisted when his conviction is refused. You know, that's what I'm talking about, that inner nudging. He's working with you. He's trying to influence. He's convicting you. Now, let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, heed. Because, listen, there's a difference in self-right and God's right. Let me go a little further. That's why the Bible speaks of self-righteousness and God's righteousness. He deals with man in Romans chapter 10. Paul says, my heart desire for Israel is that they be saved, but I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they have ignored God's righteousness and have gone about to establish their own righteousness. So you are not the standard. I am not the standard. God is the standard. And so if you are going to know what's right according to God, you have to tap into the Bible. You can't watch news and be persuaded by a party or a personality. And then listen to me. Right is not necessarily what the majority is doing. So you need to know right. Y'all quiet. I'm going to keep on hammering on the nail until I get it all the way in. Amen. You got to know what's right. Amen. So you don't have a different system of right than God, a different principle of right than God. Right is what God said is right. Amen. And you want to tap into the Holy Spirit will help you know the righteousness of God. Amen. You know, I love it because, you know, at the very beginning, God set right before man. And he gave man a choice on whether he would do right or he would come up with his own right. And that's what happened in the garden. You ask, what was it about the tree? It was the only tree that God pointed at and said, don't eat it. That's enough for it to be, you know, off limits. See, God doesn't have to give you a whole thorough explanation. If God says, don't do it, even if you lack understanding of why, it's best that you don't do it.
Amen.
Amen. You don't understand everything you do. So you don't have to understand everything you are not to do. But the fact that he says, don't do it, you don't do it because that's according to God's right. God pointed at the tree and said, don't eat of this tree. How many things have God pointed to in your life? By way of scripture and said, don't do it. And you so busy trying to twist the word and come up with another, you know, right. Because you want to feel good about what you want to do. Knowing all the while the Holy Spirit is convicting you and you know what you are setting yourself to do is against God. Nobody have to tell you that. Because the Holy Spirit is working in you. So he's resisted when his conviction is refused. The Holy Spirit is blasphemed when his work is deliberately and willfully attributed to the work of the devil. When you say that the devil, you give the credit to the devil. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let me help you. When you are saved, you say when you belong to the Lord, you cannot blaspheme. You cannot blaspheme because you cannot contribute the work of Christ to the devil, the work of the Holy Spirit to the devil because you know who's behind the work. You can identify the things of God when you say, trying to help us. That's why, you know, we have Bible study. You need to come to Bible study and tap into this. See, this is some deep teaching now. This is not no surface teaching. This is not, you know, you're gonna survive the fire.
That's right.
Down, you know, and you look in there and there's, you know, a fourth man. No, this is teaching you how to relate to, because you can hear about and not know how to relate to. You ever heard about somebody that you have not had any dealings with? And because you heard so much about them when you got in their presence, came into their presence, you didn't know how to act. Because you didn't know how to relate. I said Sunday, you know, there are ways to relate. And what the Bible teaches us is how to relate to others in every facet of life. You know, some of us are improper in the way we try to relate. You know, we have this tendency of trying to make folks accept us. You just don't like me the way I am. You don't have to worry about me. But listen, to relate, there has to be change on both parties. Give up all there is to relate to you, and you don't give up nothing. You know, we talked about how to go before great people. Matter of fact, we talked about the necessity of being able to forget, to be fruitful. That you can't handle a palace ministry with the pit and prison mentality. So what the Holy Spirit is doing is working in you, so you will attribute the work of the Holy Spirit to the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you'll know what to do, how to relate, how to respond to the Holy Spirit. Now let's deal with, we've dealt with the negative or disobedient action. Let's deal with the obedient actions of Christians also affect the emotions of the Holy Spirit. That our right actions prompt the following emotional responses of the Holy Spirit. Number one, obedience delights the Holy Spirit. Obedience. Now that's a big word. Not as big as, you know, elephant. But it's a big word. Obedience. Obedience. The act of obeying. So it brings delight to the Holy Spirit. If you want to gladden the heart, if you want to please the heart of the Holy Spirit, obey. Obey. Now, walking in obedience to the Word of God delights the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. Listen to me now. The Word of God is to be obeyed. Listen to me. The Word of God is to be obeyed. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, is to be obeyed. See, to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit is to obey the Word of God. You know how some people are trying to justify what they want to say? And there's no word to back it. You know, some stuff they really just want to get off their chest. You know, come to you, the Lord told me to tell you. And then they have their eyes all squinched up. And you can't find it nowhere in the Word. You know, most of the time it's to lay a whipping on you. You know, with that mouth.
That's right.
Y'all help me now. Don't y'all leave me out here by myself. Y'all help me. You know, they get super spiritual all of a sudden. And they can see so much in your life, but the Holy Spirit hadn't said anything to them about their own lives. You know, folks come to me, well, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you, the Holy Spirit knows my address. He ain't gonna let you hide behind the Holy Spirit. Tell me the Holy Spirit told, and you can't find it nowhere in the Word. But listen, to obey the Word of God is to obey the voice of the Spirit of God. Because, listen to me, the voice of the Holy Spirit is to be obeyed. The Word of God is to be obeyed. They are inseparable. Are y'all with me? So the Holy Spirit and the Word of God cannot be pitted against one another. There's a partnership. There's a partnership. So you need a good understanding of how God's Spirit and God's Word work together. All right? So they work together. Now, the word, let's look at John chapter 16, verse 13, because Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, notice the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit guides us. That's why the last part of it, he will tell you of things to come. He will lead you to things to come. His ministry is to guide. Now, when you understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to guide you, you don't run out front of the Holy Spirit. You get behind and follow the leadership, the leading of the Holy Spirit. You're not in charge. You can't turn the Spirit on and off when you get ready. I feel it coming up on me in here. I feel some of you saying, well, I'm going to lay down my little religion. See, you're not in charge. And while you're trying to lay him down, he's trying to pick you up. You can't turn him on and off when you get ready. He's in charge. He's guiding and leading you. So notice the word rendered guide means to point out the way. So he points out the way to lead one on his way. Now let's look at examples of the Holy Spirit pointing or leading one on the way. Look at Acts chapter 11, verse 12. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Listen to that. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. Here it is, Peter's before the Jerusalem church, and he's telling of his experience after he was led of the Holy Spirit to Cornelius' house, to a Gentile's house. He says, I was led. Now, according to the law, their custom, Jews were not to have any dealings with Greeks or Gentiles. But here it is, the Holy Spirit led him, went beyond the tradition. Oh my. And then notice what he says. I went with the Holy Spirit. I went with them doubting nothing. He'll settle you in leading you. You don't have to be frantic. You don't have to be uneasy. You don't have to be afraid. He'll settle you. Oh my, that's wonderful. When you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, he'll settle you in leading you. Amen. You have to trust him. Trust him through experiences. Through experiences, you learn to trust him more and more. Amen. When I was a younger preacher, you know, first starting out, you know, I was a little uneasy. You know, I had to walk with him and talk with him. And let him lead me and get me to some situations that only the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, could lead me through. Now that I've had my share of experiences, I'm confident. I'm doubting nothing. If the Lord said it, or he says it, I'm doing it. You know, I don't count people because you can't count on them. You just got to do what the Lord say. And listen, those who are under the unction of the Holy Spirit, they'll join. They'll join. God will line them with you. You just got to go on out there and trust the Lord, even when other folks don't understand. Now, notice Peter is before the Jerusalem church explaining why he went to a Gentile's house. I was led of the Spirit. People don't understand. But that's okay. When you have your confirmation, When God has stamped that thing for you, you got to give it all you got. So doubting nothing. Here's another example in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. They were sending them out. The Jerusalem church was sending them out on mission trips. And they were to go and evangelize, as was stated in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. They were to go into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And notice the working of the Holy Spirit. Notice, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit pointed them out. My God, that's why leadership needs to be endowed, endued with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And listen, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is in a man, is obvious. It's obvious. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now, don't make him light-skinned or nothing. I thought I would wake you all up, but it's obvious. There's no glow, no halo over his head or nothing like that. Y'all looking for signs, you know. It's all over you. It's obvious. The Holy Spirit pointed Barnabas and Paul, at the time Saul, out for the work of ministry. You know, there are times you need to stop promoting yourself and let people see the Holy Spirit in you. Some people, you know, they so self-promoting. You know, if they quick to jump up, I can do it, I can do it. Most likely they can't. Because you need to be full of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit should be evident, obviously, obvious. When you see that person, you should be able to see the workings of the Holy Spirit in their life. I don't think y'all will come to Bible study on Tuesday and Wednesdays and teaching sessions and service on Sunday if y'all felt I was empty. I don't think y'all would come. Y'all know the Holy Spirit is working with me. I don't think y'all would come if y'all felt I was empty. I had no Holy Spirit. You know. The words would be just as empty. See, but when the Holy Spirit is in you, when those words go out, they'll convict you. That's why you think I'm meddling you. Think I met you on Sunday. The Holy Spirit is working with you. The one thing I know, the Spirit is with that man. Go out of church and you know you better because you done had surgery. Yeah, when I give the benediction, I'm discharging you. You done had outpatient surgery. Yeah. Somewhere along the week, you go back out and you get messed up again. Come on back in here limping, talking about your left hip out of place or right hip out of place. I do some surgery on to straighten you up. Holy Spirit working on you. Amen. So pointed them out. Separate Barnabas and Paul. And sent them out to do the work. Now notice in Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Notice the Holy Spirit can forbid one to preach. I never forget, some years ago, one of my friends called me and he said, "Man, listen, I need you to come and do a revival for me." And I just felt it. I said, "Well, man, listen, I'm no spiritual shape to do no revival." You know, most people be running to that because that's all they know, is to say, yes. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is saying no. And we don't know how to identify, because we think it's just always yes.
That's right.
Pertaining to a certain thing. But he says, "No." I said, "Well, man, I can't do it." And he said, "What?" And he started talking about, you know, what he would give me and everything for the revival. I said, "Well, man, it doesn't matter." I said, "If you want your revival to be a revival, I'm not the guy."
That's right.
I said, "Go back and pray and let God give you the guy for the revival." I understand, as Paul said here, that the Spirit forbade them to preach in Asia. You have to be in tune. In tune. I'll never forget one funeral. I was sitting in the pulpit here, and that message was just bothering me. And the Lord said, "Well, go on over to John 14 and preach John 14. I said, "Go on over there now." He said, "Yeah, go over there right now." McCoy was sitting there with me. I said, "Man, the Lord telling me to go to John 14. I said, "I just have to obey him, and he'll work it out." And Lord have mercy, he worked it out. That you have to be led. You have to give yourself to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Don't assume the move of the Holy Spirit. Don't assume the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You have to give yourself to the Spirit. Y'all with me? Let me give you another. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. "For as many as were led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." There is a ladder of the Spirit and there's a ladder of the law. So when you are so lawful, all you know is rules. All you know is rules. And let me tell you what rules will do. If there's no relationship, leads to rebellion. You know, all you got is rules. All you have is rules. This is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. It's all you throwing down and cramming down folks' throat is just rule. Have you ever thought, if they fall in love with the Lord, they'll do right? That love is more powerful than a rule. The Spirit of God is more powerful than rules. So he says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Because the Holy Spirit is going to lead you in the Word. Okay? Now, here's an erroneous idea. That you need one more than the other. In other words, some people feel that they don't need more Bible. They need more of the Holy Spirit. They feel they don't need more Bible. They need more of the Holy Spirit. But you need both Bible and Holy Spirit. Are y'all with me? You need both Spirit of God and Word of God. So, you know, you don't want to go through the discipline of reading. So you are leaning and depending on the Holy Spirit to tell you something that you don't care to search out in the Word of God. And you're super spiritual because you have not given yourself to reading in taking the Word of God. So you are an unction person. Having a conversation, and all of a sudden, you know, that shriek got to hit you. Hit you in the back of your, you know, head or neck, and then it run on down to the sole of your feet. You keep on rehashing and reliving that baptism experience, you know. You know, you claim when you came up out of the water, you know, something hit you. You know, and you were changed and all that kind of thing. But you don't read the Bible. So you're leaning and depending on, you know, your emotions versus the Word of God, which directs your emotions. All right. So you need both. Word of God, Spirit of God. Now, I told you when you get down and get over the Word, the Holy Spirit will make them words jump off the page. You'll be seeing words that you and just looked over and all like that. You've read that scripture, that verse, no telling how many times. But this particular time, when you go in there and you are leaning and depending on the Holy Spirit to speak, the Holy Spirit will make those words jump off the page. You'll get those ooh-wee, aha moments. Oh, that's what that means. See, and that's what you want the Holy Spirit to do, is to take the Word and put the Word in your heart. Put it in your heart. So he'll have something to guide you by. Amen. You don't need empty thought. You don't need an empty mind. You need a mind full of the Word of God. Amen. Now, let me see, can I help you? You're about 198 degrees. Hot, mad. Matter of fact, let me get you on up there. You're about 475. You will burn up anything close to you. You so mad. And the Holy Spirit is working, bringing back the Word to you. Be angry and sin not. You know, there's a such thing as righteous indignation, righteous anger, and that's to be upset about sin. But he says, watch yourself when you're angry, because it's easy to sin. So the Holy Spirit is bringing all his Word to you. Bringing all his Word to you, and he'll bring you on down from 475. And you'll just start cooling on off with that Word. And the cooler he can get you, the less of a threat you are to those around you. Because when you that hot, you just looking for somebody to go off on. Y'all act like I'm not talking to the right group here. No, y'all are not. So obedience delights the Holy Spirit. Now, listen to this. We live what we believe. And do you believe that? Obeying the Holy Spirit is not an option For Christian believers, it is a command. So Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 13 and 14, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. So obedience is a result of yielding our will to the will of the Holy Spirit. Yielding our will, giving it up, giving it to the will of the Holy Spirit. So I'm setting my will aside and I'm taking on the Spirit's will. Just as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but your will be done. So we do what we believe. If we know the word to be true, then we will obey it because we believe it. Amen. So listen to this. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. That the Holy Spirit not only teaches us how to obey, but also gives us the desire and the power to do so as we walk in relationship with Him. Here it is, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and do for His good pleasure. So notice what you are to work out. Now this salvation mention is not soul salvation, because you can't work to be saved. What he's talking about is the will and good pleasure of God that He has placed in you. You have the responsibility of making known, manifesting what God has put in you. Amen. Amen. That's why the Bible speaks of fruit. Fruit. Fruit is outward or outer evidence of a tree's type. I'm kind of letting. It's outer evidence of a tree's type, what kind of tree it is. You wouldn't know a pecan tree from any other fruit tree if you have never picked a pecan. And because you have picked a pecan, you label the tree a pecan tree. Now you do know they can graft now. So they'll take the base or the trunk of a pecan tree, slit it, and then put a branch of a peach tree. And that pecan tree will produce pecan, but the branch of the peach tree will produce peaches. But let me tell you, the pecan tree does not have the capacity to produce peaches without being altered. Because there's a branch of a peach tree. You have to claim it and own it as a branch of a peach tree, knowing what a peach tree is, because the fruit is a peach. Jesus said a tree is known by the fruit it bears. So when people see you, what kind of fruit are you bearing? See, he has worked some stuff in you. And he knows you have what it takes to work it out of you. So there's an expectation God has of you to bring forth fruit. That's why it's an insult to God when you don't bear fruit. You know, two particular incidents in the Bible where it speaks of being barren. You know, there was a tree in a vineyard, and it was well kept. All of the trees around it bad fruit, but that tree didn't. And the owner of the vineyard came in and saw that one tree that didn't bear. And then there was a husbandman, there was a vineyard worker, a laborer. And he pleaded for the tree, said, give me another year. And he dug from around the tree, and he donged the tree, fertilized the tree. And then the next year, the Bible says that that tree bad fruit. There's another. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he wanted fruit. And there was a fig tree. And when he looked up on that tree, he rambled through the leaves, and there were no figs. He's not impressed by your leaves.
That's right.
So if you're a leaf member, he's not impressed by your leaf or your leaves. He's looking for fruit. And the Bible says he found none. And at that very moment, he cursed the tree. And the tree immediately withered. He's expecting fruit. So the Holy Spirit in you is what's necessary for you to bring out of you what he has put in you.
Amen.
There'll be evidence. Here's the last thing. Honoring the Holy Spirit in all our ways. We should honor the Holy Spirit in all our ways, looking to him as our counselor, comforter, and divine guide into all truth, delights the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit teaches us how to honor God first, and then how to bring that attitude to all other relationships. So teaches us how to honor God first. Amen. Amen. When you have that connection right, the other connections will get right. But that connection has to be right. Honor God first. First. Here's the conclusion. It is our responsibility to respond properly to the Holy Spirit by yielding to him in obedience, by believing him and honoring him in the living of our lives. We need to realize that we are responding to a person, not to an influence or an it. Amen. All right. Are there any questions? Any questions? Any questions? All right, let us stand and make our prayer circle. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart, in my heart, in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Lord, I want to love everybody in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to love everybody in my heart, in my heart. In my heart, Lord, I want to love everybody in my heart. Are there any prayer requests? All right, James Henson, cowboy surgery. On last Thursday.
I pray for the Bland, Jensen, and Crenshaw family. My cousin, they're going to be criminalized for this Saturday. Fairly on the path.
All right. All right. Praying for your family. The Vincent, Crenshaw, and Bland. All right.
Pray for Janiqua
January. Janiqua
January.
All right, Janiqua. All right. All right, Sister Pippins. All right, the Hayes family.
Reverend Wood.
All right. Sister Cassandra Brundridge. Husband had surgery today. Okay, all right. Pray for Mother Classy Evans. She's back home, but it's still a recovery process. So pray for Mother Classy Evans. With somebody?
Wendy
Lahana. All right. Somebody else told me to pray. I know I talked with Brother Bland. Anyone else?
The Lathan.
All right. Lathan family. All right.
We want to give you all the praise, the glory, all the honor, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your will. We thank you for this church family. And we pray to God that your will be done in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We pray to God to continue to strengthen us, encourage us, enable us to do your will.
Mm-hmm.
We pray to God that your will be done in our lives. Enable us, the Heavenly Father, to be a light, the Heavenly Father. Let this church family, the Heavenly Father, stand for Jesus, dear God. And we thank you right now.
Thank you.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you work with our sick, our shut-in, the Heavenly Father, and our bereaved family. You heard the request, the Heavenly Father, and we ask, dear God, that you grant according to your will. We ask the Heavenly Father that you heal the Heavenly Father, deliver, set free, dear God, and we ask that your will be done in their lives. And we pray, dear God, that you continue to work with them, dear God. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, right now. We thank you in advance, dear Heavenly Father, for everything you're doing for us in our lives. We ask, the Lord, you continue to bless us, dear Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Bless our children. Bless our families, dear Heavenly Father. Continue, dear Heavenly Father, bless our pastor and his family. Continue to touch him, dear Heavenly Father, and touch Pastor Emeritus just walking his family to Heavenly Father. You know the Heavenly Father, where they stand in need of, dear God, and we pray that your will be done in their lives. We thank you, dear God. We praise you, and we magnify your holy name, dear Heavenly Father. We ask the Lord you continue to work with our youth, dear Heavenly Father. Touch our children, dear Heavenly Father. They need you, dear Heavenly Father. Place your loving arms around them, dear Heavenly Father. We ask, dear God, as you touch them, dear Heavenly Father, continue, dear God, to just protect them, dear Heavenly Father, from all hurt, harm, and danger, seen and unseen. And we ask, dear God, that your will be done in their lives. Continue, dear Heavenly Father, to just work with the members here, dear Heavenly Father. Those, dear Heavenly Father, who are watching verses, dear Heavenly Father. Those who are here from the sound of my voice, dear God. Yes. You know, dear God, whatever we need, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you, dear God, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Yes. We ask, dear God, you continue to mend marriages, dear Heavenly Father. Yes, mend relationships with children, dear Heavenly Father. Parents, dear Heavenly Father. Husband and wives, sisters and brothers, the Heavenly Father, we thank you right now, and we pray that your will be done in our lives. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We magnify you, Lord, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we just ask, dear God, that you aid this church, the Heavenly Father, to be like a light, dear God, that's set on the hill, the Heavenly Father. Able of the Heavenly Father to see Jesus in us, dear God. And we pray, dear God, that you able us to continue to disciple this town, disciple this state, disciple this country, dear God. And we ask, dear God, that your will be done. And we just want to lift you up, praise, magnify, and glorify your holy name. And we thank you, Lord, right now. And we declare everything done, dear Heavenly Father, in your name. We thank you, we praise you, and we lift you up right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Say we rebuke you. We bind and hinder you in every way possible. We come against every foul, every hindering spirit, anything that hinders the word of God from going forward and being fruitful in our lives. We bind it up and we cast down right now in Jesus' holy name. And we pray to God that your will be done in our life. We thank you, Lord. We praise you and we magnify your holy name. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and do thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.